Now, for the next chapter, we have two distinct parts to it, kind of like we did when we had the aorist passive participle in the GA. Except, this is not going to be morphology and syntax. It's going to be two sections of syntax. The second part is going to be the third principal parts of these two old verbs that we had all the way back on page 56, bino and genosko, because we've never had the aorists of those. But the first part of the chapter is the so-called liquid verbs. Now, you'll remember when we were working with the consonants, I'll put this over here. We had k, g, h, and double sigma. These are your gutturals. Your labials, p, b, f, and p tau. And the dentals, t, d, th, and generally zeta. These operate at the end of the stems, and we've had various principles for adding sigma and so on. You will notice there that there are a number of consonants that we did not really see verbs with. The two chief, or the three chief consonants are these: lambda, nu, and rho. Now, mu could also be added in here, but it's not as major a player. But lambda, nu, and rho, there are verbs which end with those consonants. Those are called liquids because you're just kind of making them like that. You're not going p or b. You're not putting stops in there. So when you do t or d, you are doing a stop, and the liquids are no stops. They just have l, m, r, and so on. Now, a special thing happens when you have liquid verbs. That special thing is sort of like getting infected with HIV. That is to say, everything deteriorates. When you have a liquid verb, it will, in general, be virtually completely irregular. Now, you can do this one of two ways. My teacher put it like this, and I think he was right. He said, two ways to treat these. One, you can just treat them like irregular verbs, and you'll learn all the principal parts. The other way is to sort of see the method behind the madness. Now, remember when we were doing the fourth principal part in chapter 25, the second day? And I said that when we got to the fourth principal part, we had, I mean, how many were there, like 26 or something, that were irregular in that column that was number 4? But I said there were some basic principles that went on. Like, for example, if you had a labial or a dental, it would aspirate rather than a kappa. And epsilons often go to omicrons, like pepompha, leloipa, and so on. So with something like, I just want to return to that one. With something like pepompha from pimple, while that's clearly an irregular, it's sort of predictable. That is to say, an epsilon often has a penchant to go to omicron, and when it is a consonantal stem, you'll often see, instead of having a kappa, you will have whatever consonant it is aspirate. So that's not all that unusual. This is sort of what we're going to be talking about today with the liquids, that there's a kind of a method to the madness. All right, now open your books and go to page 184. What we're going to do is we're going to take four verbs and use them as basic paradigms: angelo, airo, balo, and Pharaoh. Now, take a look at the principal parts of angelo. Angelo, angelo, angela, angelka, angelmai, angelane. You can, if you want, simply learning the just learn the principal parts. That's one way to handle this. I'm here to tell you, though, that there is a method to the madness on this. And this is what we want to look at this morning. Now let's take a look. Under number 3A, the second principal part reveals the verb's basic stem or root. Here's the first thing that you want to know. Here, take your books here, and just with the palm of your hand, just cover up principal part number one. Just cover up principal part number one. All right, there you basically have now the verb functioning from principal part number two onward. So, when principal part number two is the key, certain predictable things happen. And we're going to talk about those now. All right, now take your hand away and let's look at 3A2. How do you form this principal part? Well, there's a standard way in which it happens. One lambda is dropped from a double lambda in the so-called present stem always. So angelo starts with a double lambda, balo starts with a double lambda, and in the future, one lambda will always go out. Now, you can kind of remember this because you got all the way back in chapter 4 the noun angelos. How many lambdas did angelos have? One. See? The basic root of that announcing stem is one lambda. Okay, next. A iota in the so-called present stem is always dropped when it's in a diphthong. So look at our second and fourth words, iro and thyro. Well, immediately, in the future, the iota goes. Iro, arro. Thyro, fair. See, the iota is going to go out in the future tense. Then number three. The second principal part is normally a contracted form since originally epsilon sigma was added to the stem. I'll move over here. So here, if you have angelo, this is originally the future, angeleso. Sigma drops between the vowels. What do you have left? A contract verb formation. That's why, now look in your books, that's why it's angelo. Aro, balo, thero. All of those are contracting in the future. Top of page 185, you'll see balo be conjugated out for you. So now, the difficulty here is not in the fact that it contracts. The difficulty here is balo looks like a contract verb, and if you didn't know any better, you'd think it's the present tense of a verb, baleo. See? So you got to kind of know your liquids here. Yes, Newt. Yes. That means that when you conjugate the future, it'll have forms that look just like the contract verbs. So you have balo, balais, balai. Let's compare to phileo. Philo, phileis, phileai. Zeteo, zeto, zetais, zetai. Right, right. So, let's just review those principles. Number one, if there's a double lambda, you're going to drop one. If there's a iota and a diphthong, you're going to drop it. And then you're going to do a contract verb pattern. Now, folks, before we go on to anything else, this is the explanation for those contracted forms in the principal parts of a couple of verbs you've already had. You've already had Lego arrow. See? That's a liquid there. Apothnesco apothanumai. That is a liquid future. This is a liquid future with a row. So in other words, this is just like our form thero. Thero. This is aero. Same thing is true, piptopesumai, but that sigma as a sibilant is just a little different. But I mean, it's the same principle. It's exactly the same principle. Now let's go to the third principle part. Now I'm on top of page 185. The aorist stem may be strong, but is usually weak. Now, by this I mean it could be that you're using strong formations with an Omicron knee rather than weak formations, but that's not normal. I gave you one so you could see one. The normal thing is to have weak formations with the alpha. So look at angelo, iro, and thyro. All three of those have the alpha connecting vowel at the end, which signifies that they're weak aorists. Now something happens to the stem. What happens to the stem? A iota appears in the stem. If the stem proper, now that's the second principal part, not the first one, has an epsilon. So, angelo, angelo. There's an epsilon in there. So it's going to be, we augment it, angela. Thyro, thero, and you get ephthyra. Now, at this point, I want to say something that's kind of important here. Would you just take a look up here. Cover up the first line again. And I want you to notice now how when you're looking at principal part number two, you can't tell whether the first form, angelo, or the last form, thero, you cannot tell whether one of them in principal part one started with a iota or not. Right? They both have simply epsilon. Look at the third principal part of each. Angela ephthyra. See? Here's my point. Now take your finger away. It makes no difference whether there was a iota in principal part one. What is not the case in thyro is this. The iota is not, quote, coming back. It's not coming back. We're not even considering principal part one at all. We're starting with number two. If that has an epsilon, it gets a iota. There's no coming back principle. There's a coming in principle, depending on principle part two. Now look at point three under B. A iota does not appear if the stem proper has an alpha, even if one appeared in the first principal part. So it makes no difference between balo and iro. Makes no difference. You're never going to have a iota in the third principal part with an alpha vowel. Now I'd like you to note that form ara. That form ara is alpha augmented to eta. Alpha augmented. And so there's no iota subscript. All right, fourth principal part. The fourth principal part is normally weak. It normally has a kappa. Take a look at all four. Angelka, erka, bebleka, and eftharka. In a third edition of the book, I'm also going to make the note here that the fourth principal part is often irregular, where you can't quite, like for balo, bebleka, thyro, eftharka, you have some little dinking around changes. If the verb ends in a ny, like krino, not one of our four, the ny gets kicked out by the cup. Now, This next part's the most interesting in my view. The fifth principle part is always related to the fourth principle part by going straight over, take off the ka and put on the mai. Engel ka engel mai. Er ka er mai. Beble ka beble mai. Ephthar ka ephthar mai. See? Now, we talked about this 2 days ago. And what did I tell you? Whenever that's the case, that you can take off the kappa and the alpha and put the mai on, it's a dead ringer that the basic stem of those kinds of verbs is in the second principle part. And we saw that in lambano with aile fa aile mai, and we saw it in lego with aire ka aire mai, and hamartano in he marte ka he marte mai. So this is, I'm not sure, you know, if there's any other answer than natural development of the Greek language. But when principle part 5 is so closely related to 4 and not back to 1, your controlling principle part is the second principle part. Okay, and then we go to, by the way, just to give you a cross-reference, is 169 to 70 is where I discuss that with the perfects, especially on the top of page 170 with the note. Now the sixth principle part. In the sixth principle part, this is normally, Ron, from Gdansk, Warsaw, and Krakow. This is so Polish, you can't believe it. The sixth principle part normally goes wacko on these verbs. So you've really got to watch it. Notice, the first and the fourth, engelein and ephtharein, are strong aorist passives, no theta. So in other words, we didn't have this, engelthein. Well, that would have been nice, but didn't have that. And we didn't have ephtharein. Now, you could kind of predict that because Greek did not like the th kind of a thing. So, this basically goes out. So, ephtharein is the way this is.